Thank you so much for tuning in to the Photography Friends podcast. I'm your photographer, Jared Poirier, and today we are going to be starting a new series spotlighting different potential niches that you can explore in the realm of photography. What were you expecting? Some type of weird fake intro? No, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 91 of the Photography Friends podcast, and we're getting serious now on the podcast, guys. So for this series, there's not going to be, I don't know, it's not any more serious than usual. I'm just doing normal intros for the next little while, okay? And we're starting a brand new series where we are going to be searching for the best niche in all of photography. And I think that this is going to help pretty much every photographer. That's why I think it's an amazing episode of the podcast. Whether you're just starting out and you're looking for a good niche, a good area that you can focus your attention to get some good clients and build a good business in photography, or, you know, maybe you've been in the game for a while and you're getting a little bit bored potentially with what you've been doing, or you just want to branch out a little bit, try some other forms of photography, I think that this is going to be a great episode. I think, either way, it's really good just to know what's out there in terms of potential niches, potential markets for photography. So we will be starting with real estate photography. This first episode here is going to be on real estate photography, a type of photography that I've done before. And in each and every one of these episodes, I interviewed a different photographer who specializes in that particular niche. So this time it's going to be Chris Hillier. No French flair on there. He told me specifically, it's not Hillier. It's not French. It's just normal. Hillier. So we're going to get into all of that. Super excited to create a wonderful podcast for you guys today. But before we can do that, we need to thank our gracious sponsor, which is, of course, CloudSpot. But first, I'm going to have a sip of my coffee. That is delicious coffee. All right, so CloudSpot, if you guys don't know, it's the easiest way for photographers, that's you, to deliver and sell your photos online. You can get beautiful galleries, hassle-free downloads for all your clients. It's completely, they call it grandma proof, so I'm gonna call it grandma proof. Anyone's grandma, grandpa, whoever it is gonna be able to download nice, beautiful, high resolution, exciting, thrilling, wonderful photos off of CloudSpot. And if you wanna give your clients or your grandparents the experience of a lifetime, you'll sign up for CloudSpot. There's a link down below. You can actually get 50% off, 50% off of CloudSpot. So check that one out. All right, so that's the sponsor section. Let's just get into a little bit of a personal note, if you guys don't mind. So here's what's going on with me personally. You guys have maybe noticed that there hasn't been a podcast for a while. In fact, it's been maybe about a month since I uploaded a podcast to this lovely wherever you listen to podcasts. And there's a reason why, guys. And that's because, well, look around. I didn't pick this painting, right? our condo is being staged right now. We actually sold our condo. I can tell you guys that. And my wife, Masha, and I will be moving out of Toronto. We're actually going to be moving to Niagara-on-the-Lake. So pretty exciting stuff. Lots of interesting changes. And it's going to come with some probably changes for the podcast, but I believe there'll be changes for the better. I'm going to have a lot more space. I'm going to be able to set up my own studio there. I won't have to constantly be moving gear around everywhere. And I think it's just going to be it's just going to be a better arrangement for everyone. And that includes you guys. So thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for continuing to listen to the podcast, to support us. Get a lot of messages on Instagram, just people saying that they really love the show and that, this it's it's helpful for them and interesting to them. And that's why we do it. So we're going to keep going forward with all of that. So let's talk about niches in photography. And then we'll get into the, biggest thing that we want to talk about today, the big ticket, which is real estate photography. So why do you need a niche in the first place? Well, the biggest reason is that you can't serve everybody and you can't do everything perfectly, right? Maybe you've tried to. I definitely have. At a certain point, you will need to decide on a target, you know, a niche in photography that you want to work on. When you decide on a target demographic for photography, I think it's really important that you consider a few things. You know, you want to consider, what are you truly good at, right? What's the type of photography that you're able to produce at a very high level? You want to consider, who needs that, right? Who needs the type of photography that you can do, right? There has to be a demand out there. There have to be people at the gates just demanding that you serve them with some beautiful photography. it should be somebody ideally that you enjoy working with. You're going to have to work with these people like constantly. And if it's a group of people that you just don't get along with, you're probably not going to enjoy your life or your job or anything like that. And also, you should consider that when it comes to choosing a photography niche, you should be looking at something that you're personally passionate about. I think that that's the thing that is really going to help tons of photographers to really enjoy what they're doing, right? If it's, to be honest, guys, if it's not something that you're passionate about, the amount of like work and blood, sweat, and tears, literally, that you're gonna have to put into this trade, if it's not something that you truly love and something that you're truly passionate about, you're gonna have a very difficult time going through that process. So before you get too deep, make sure that you're actually targeting some type of demographic that you truly love working for, doing something that you're truly passionate about. All right, so now we can get right into the nitty gritty. Let's talk all about real estate photography. And, I'll be able to bring in some of Chris's points here, because he gave me quite a few notes, a lot of good stuff in here, and also because I've done real estate photography myself. I mean, I even did the photos and videos that sold this very condo that I'm sitting in right now, so I'll be able to bring some knowledge, some experience to bear here, you know? How very unusual. All right, so the way I've breaking this down, I basically asked everybody the same questions. I asked them, what's the best thing about your particular target when it comes to photography? What is the worst thing when it comes to, you know, your particular target? And, which gear you need? What are some of the perks? And how lucrative is it? And the lucrative one, you know, I got to put something in there for people to argue about. So how lucrative is it, I think, is going to be an interesting one for people to argue. Okay, so here we go. So Chris says that the best thing about working in real estate photography, see, as I said before, he's obviously passionate about design, architecture. He likes how it's incorporated into people's lives. He likes being exposed to new inspiring trends in like architecture and design and stuff like that. From the technical side, he enjoys having control over the lighting and finding like appropriate composition in certain rooms and spaces. I agree with all of that. One of the most satisfying things about photography in general is that control, right? Is that ability to set things up the way that you want in order to achieve the look that you want to get, whether that is controlling the light or picking your angles and everything related to composition. It's one of the things that is very fun and satisfying about what we do as photographers. Some of the worst things. So I totally experienced this one in the real estate photography that I've done, that it's all weather dependent, right? So that can be incredibly stressful, guys. Like the very fact that if the weather's not good, then that's going to have a big effect on the final outcome, right? You're basically relying on the weather in a lot of situations. And yeah, you can bring in some flashes, you can bring in some lighting, but if it's like a horribly cloudy day outside, or if it's raining, snowing, whatever, that is going to have a very negative effect on the photography that you're trying to do. And, you know, the agents themselves, they just want good photos. They have to put those up on MLS. They have to stand by those photos. Their clients want good photos. You just have to get it right. And whether that means, like, you know, just being kind of on call until the weather's good, or maybe even multiple trips to make that happen, that might be what you have to do. So yeah, that is a very tough thing about real estate photography in particular. Real estate industry in general, just going from Chris's notes here, photography media is often undervalued, and there's so many people doing it for dirt cheap. 100% what I've experienced in real estate photography, there it is saturated, right? There's not that much of a barrier to entry. Like with video work and even studio work, you have to get quite a few things in order to do that. There's just, for whatever reason, quite a few people who think that they can just be amazing real estate photographers, and the market's pretty saturated with people doing, you know, $200 packages or whatever, right? So yeah, it has to it takes the right realtor, and one who actually really cares about their brand and the work that you're doing in order to create good work that you're proud of, right? And another thing that is bad about real estate photography, I've experienced, Chris, if you're listening, I feel you, brother. I've experienced a lot of this stuff as well. Like a lot of these things are things that I've had a tough time with when it comes to real estate photography as well. As I have another sip of my coffee here, and then we can get into gear. So when it comes to the camera that you want to use, Chris here is recommending like a pro level full frame camera. I would recommend that as well. Nice full frame, like I've got over here, my Sony A7 IV, a camera that is near and dear to my heart. I think a full frame, the amount of light that you're getting, and also just like the bigger frame capturing more, as Chris says here, very important. He talks about having a wide angle lens. Now, this is something when I was shooting the photos and videos for this condo, I actually needed to get a wide angle lens. I've got a 24-70 that I'm using for this podcast, but 24-70 doesn't really cut it when you're talking about real estate photography, particularly in a condo, really anything, but particularly in a condo where you want to really make it look big, right? And really show off the entire space, and having a wide lens is pretty vital for that. You know, Chris specifically here shouts out a 14 to 16 millimeter as being wide enough, right? A tripod is another thing that you're obviously gonna need for real estate photography, especially if you're offering HDR photography, which basically means that the way I accomplish that is with like multiple exposures, right? So exposing a little bit underexposed, exposing properly, and then doing something that's a little bit overexposed, right? So that you get basically the full range in your photo of highlights, shadows, just produces a more rich overall image, right? With a nice variety of tones. So yeah, a tripod you're gonna need for, well, I think just in general to get like nice straight shots, right? A tripod can be good. The lighting, he recommends speed lights and a trigger. I think that this can be the case. I've accomplished it with like video lights and stuff like that before, but if you have some speed lights that you can put around the space to add some extra light, especially, you know, as we were talking about earlier, especially if you are dealing with some maybe not perfect weather conditions and stuff like that, having some speed lights or some flashes or strobes or something can really help. He specifically shouts out the Godox AD200-300. Never used that before, but apparently it's great for real estate photography. Yeah, going into perks here. Basically, one of the biggest perks, you know, that Chris points out, and I totally agree with this, is just that if you're, you know, doing listing photos for a real estate agent, chances are there's other photography, video, marketing needs that they have, right? The odds are really in your favor that you'll be able to get some other work out of that, whether that stuff on their social media, you know, videos, maybe they just need nice photos of themselves, kind of like lifestyle photos that they need for their Instagram or website or whatever, right? There's tons of other things that that real estate agents need from photographers and videographers. And if you can get them for, you know, doing their listings, then you can do other stuff. Like I one of my biggest clients ever was Think Real Estate, right? I did tons of video where I did like every single video on their YouTube channel for maybe 2 years or something like that, right? So yeah, there's a lot of work. And if you know, doing those listings is a way for you to get through that door and to get yourself some more business, then I definitely recommend it. And yeah, just as Chris points out here, it's fun to do a variety of work, and it's also really good for your portfolio, right? Because it's always important to consider that, like any type of work that you're doing, it's not just about doing the work that you're doing in the moment, but about the future work as well. You always have to consider that. When it comes to how lucrative it is to be doing this stuff, right? How lucrative it is to do real estate photography. Again, this is probably going to be the controversial part. I put it in here on purpose because people like to fight about stuff on the internet. So, yeah, he basically points out that, you know, what I've experienced myself, there's a full-on range of prices, right? There's a massive range of prices that exist with real estate photography. There's dirt cheap, right? $200, $250. There's even people who will do like video and photo for like $200, $300, right? Like it's pretty nuts. But then on the other side, there are those like big packages, those high-end properties where, yeah, you're going to have to do a really good job, but they pay better, right? And you're able to, you know, if you're doing real estate photography, it's really up to you which type of packages you want to put out there. And there can be a lot of opportunities to make a lot more money just by creating bigger packages, right? When a agent has a listing, there's a lot to it. Photo, video, drones, floor plans, all types of things. So, you know, as Chris points out here, you can get up to, you know, $1,000 plus for a photography and video package for real estate. Kind of just all depends on what you want to do. And you can make a living either way, right? If you're doing like tons and tons of small shoots and you're doing one every single day or even multiples a day, then yeah, like you can make a living doing that. People do that, right? So Chris says here, the answer is anywhere from 1 to 5, right? He's like, it ranges from 1 to 5. So, you know, we'll just meet him in the middle here and say that that's a 3 in terms of lucrative. Overall, with real estate photography, is it the best, right? Is it the best photography niche? It might be for some people, right? If you're really into architecture, if you know a lot of real estate agents, if you just know a lot of real estate agents and you can get a lot of work doing this, it can be a It can be a great form of work. It can even be pretty creative at times. It is pretty cool to work with other people as well. Like when you are shooting a property, you're usually working with the agent. You're usually working with like a stager, different types of things that go on. So that can all be pretty fun and pretty interesting. The fact that you can get like other work with real estate agents by doing their like listing photos and videos, I think is an incredibly good point. So, you know, if you're getting into photography and this is something that's interesting to you, and you know, realtors are someone who you think that you can work with, you think that you can handle, they're kind of nuts. then yeah, this might be a decent this might be a decent target niche for you. But is it the best? Is it the best niche in all of photography? Well, we're just going to have to finish this series and find out. So I'm going to leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for tuning into this podcast. I really appreciate you guys listening. Really appreciate everything that you do to support the podcast. If you want to follow us further, support us further, you can check out the podcast on Instagram. You can rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can recommend the podcast to all of your photography friends out there. And what else can you do? You can support us on Patreon, and you can check out our beautiful sponsor, CloudSpot, and you can even get 50% off by clicking that link down below. And the something random, you know, there are a lot of sugary cereals out there, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it's probably the best. And of all the sugary cereals, I would say anything that makes the milk chocolate milk, like that Nesquik stuff, that's disturbing to me, okay? So I'm against that. But Cinnamon Toast Crunch reigns supreme, and I'm just going to leave it there.